Have you ever been hungry to hear a word from God? You should. Because one word from the Lord can set your life on a new trajectory. One word from God can change your entire life. One word from God can minister to your soul even more than 10,000 hours of counseling. And I'm for counseling. I think counseling is a great thing. But one encounter with the Holy Spirit, one encounter with the Word of God, one encounter with God moving, one encounter can change your perspective on everything. You can go, husbands, you can go to your wives and say, I need to be a better husband because you had an encounter with God. Ladies, you can do the same thing. I need to be a better wife. I need to be a better mom. Wherever you're at in your stage of life, one encounter with the Word of God can change your life completely. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. I think about mom and dad and these dedications. And you know, one of the things that you discover when you're mom or dad is you hear the voice of your child. And when they say, Mom, or dad, you know that voice, and you know every mom knows it and turns around. We're talking about the voice of God today. When the title is The Voice, and when I titled this The Voice, I thought about that TV show The Voice. And anybody ever see it? It's you know, you have these judges that are sitting, and their backs are towards these guys who can sing. Personally, guys, I can't sing. I want you to know that. My mom thinks I can sing, and she's the only person on the planet that thinks I can sing. She's a good mom. But I can't sing. But in this situation, you have these judges who are supposedly really good at vocals, and they could know a good voice versus a bad voice. And that's very similar in our relationship with God. Very similar. How do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? How do you know when God is talking to you? How do you know when God is telling you open up that door or take that job or get into that relationship or walk away or move on? I mean, how do you determine God's will? How do you know? I think some of us, it's super easy for us to say, well, let's talk to the husbands. The husbands say, okay, I need to determine God's will. Hey, baby, what do you think I should do here? Right? Or maybe you have a boss that you look up to. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe, ladies, you ask another good friend of yours or whatever it is and say, hey, this is a situation I'm working through. What do you think I should do? It's always easier to look at other people. Or maybe you dive into social media and you look at reels or you look at articles. Or maybe you do all the work and you do all the research and you're like, okay, maybe I should do this. So you start Googling or whatever it is and you start looking and you're thinking about it and you jump into it. What if the first person you went to was God? Before you went to your woman or your man or your friend or social media, what if the very first person you went to was God? You know, it's really hard to have a personal relationship with God if you can't hear him, right? You're just guessing all the time. And sometimes you might determine God's will based on how you feel. Your emotions. Next week, I'm talking about feelings and emotions. Do not miss next week. It's going to be good. But God wants you to have God wants to have this relationship with you where you know him and you hear him and you know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So there's a relationship that God wants to have with you, and he wants you to know him, and he wants you to hear a word from him every single day. That's the heart of God. God doesn't want you to be guessing. I was talking to one of our young adults last night, and I told him, you know what? We waste a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of strength trying to figure out things without hearing from God first. We waste a lot of time and energy and strength. And our idea is we're gonna knock on every single door. We're going to kick every door. And whichever door opens, that's the one I'm going to go through. But I want you to know there's an easier way. There is a blessed life that exists when you learn to hear the voice of God. When you learn to hear the voice of God, how do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like? You need the Holy Spirit to live a blessed life. You need the Holy Spirit to live a blessed life. You need the Holy Spirit to walk with God. You need the Holy Spirit to live at a next level, to live a righteous life with God. You need the Holy Spirit. Your willpower is not enough. Your strength is not enough. Your wisdom, your intellect is not enough. Your good intentions is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus, when he was with the disciples, he was telling them, you need the Holy Spirit, the helper, the advocate, and he will help you in life. Jesus made it clear to the disciples early on that you need the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you look at the Bible, that's what you discover. And 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days, aka Pentecost. That's what Pentecost in Greek means, 50th. 50 days after the resurrection, you find the Holy Spirit coming down on the apostles in Acts chapter 2. So Jesus knew you need the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Trinity. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God exists in three distinct persons. God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, all equally God. Each person shares a divine nature. Each person is distinct and has distinct roles, and they work in perfect harmony according to God's divine purpose. When I was on my sabbatical, one of the verses the Lord gave me, and I'll just share it with you right now, is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord spoke to me with that word. You know what he told me? He said, Reuben, may the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and I need the love of God. Anybody need the love of God? I need the love of God. I need to be reminded all the time that my sins are forgiven. I need to be reminded that my God will never walk out on me. I need to be reminded that my God is always going to be faithful, and his grace is always going to be greater than my sin. I need that reminder all the time. I need to be reminded I don't have to be so hard on myself. Anybody with me? I don't need to kick myself all the time. I can embrace the love of God. It's something that it's hard to understand, but I'm so grateful that God is love. I'm so grateful for that. And the love of God and the fellowship. Say fellowship with me, the fellowship. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that word fellowship, you know that word means a relationship. It's this idea that I can give my life to Jesus Christ, and I think that's the best decision. Jesus is the best person you'll ever meet, and you can do that, but you can also have fellowship with him. That means I can talk to him when I'm walking my dog. I can talk to him when I'm at Starbucks, when I'm in line. I can talk to him when I'm walking downstairs or if I'm at work or whatever I'm doing. I could have fellowship with him, and I can get to know him, and I could hear his voice, and I can just talk to him. The whole time on my sabbatical, I kept telling God, God, I need to hear a word from you. Have you ever been hungry to hear a word from God? You should. Because one word from the Lord can set your life on a new trajectory. One word from God can change your entire life. One word from God can minister to your soul even more than 10,000 hours of counseling. And I'm for counseling. I think counseling is a great thing. But one encounter with the Holy Spirit, one encounter with the Word of God, one encounter with God moving, one encounter can change your perspective on everything. You can go, husbands, you can go to your wives and say, I need to be a better husband because you had an encounter with God. Ladies, you can do the same thing. I need to be a better wife. I need to be a better mom. Wherever you're at in your stage of life, one encounter with the Word of God can change your life completely. We've had people in this church hear this word and say, you know what, I need to change my jobs. I have a flirtatious relationship at work, and it's not good for my marriage. I'm going to be quitting my job. That's serious stuff. And they quit on Monday. We've had people in this church hear this and say, you know what, I've been in this relationship with this person too long, and it's not God-honoring, and I need to get out of this relationship. We've had that happen too. Over and over. That's when it becomes real, right, church? That's when it becomes real. Like, we're not here just to go through the motions. You got to learn to hear the word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's a pretty popular story about Samuel. And God was speaking to him, and he didn't realize it was him. So it starts off like this. It says, meanwhile, The boy Samuel, he was a boy, served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel," say Samuel with me, Samuel. "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" And he got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied, "go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called again, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said, "go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. I think about that a little bit, and I think, you know, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit means you have a relationship with God. It's possible to go to church and not have a relationship with God. It's possible to know that God exists and know that, you know, these beautiful mountains and God, we can intellectually agree that there's a supreme being. We could make that decision, and we can say, "Yep, I believe," and we can look at the Bible and say, "Yep, I know it's a special book, and I believe Jesus existed, and I believe all of those things," but not have a relationship with God. And when you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know how he sounds. You don't know what that voice is. You don't know what that looks like. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Verse 8 says, "So the Lord called him a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Hey, here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. Eli realized it, not Samuel. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again. And if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." Hear this. Knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit is something that is learned. It's something learned. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us before we know him. I can tell you times in my life when God spoke to me when I was far from God. And one of the times I remember was when I was partying hard. It's in Port Aransas, Texas, living on potato chips and alcohol for the week, literally. I remember those days just listening to, you know, whatever music. And, you know, I had a killer stereo system in my 1972 Ford Maverick. But anyway, I remember those days. And I remember, it was like 2 a.m, and I was watching my buddy, and I was on the beach in my car, and I was behind the steering wheel, and we just had the music going. It was bumping, and I saw my buddy in front. His name was Chris, and he was a varsity football player. He played center, and I remember I was behind it, but I remember he was like in front of it, and he was just so wasted, and I remember he was staggering, like, you know, like doing that, and I was behind the steering wheel, and the Holy Spirit told me, "Is that what you want?" And I didn't realize it was the Holy Spirit, but it made me think about my life. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit does before you come to know Jesus. He asks things like, "Are you happy? Do you want to know God? Is that who you want to be? There's more." And the Holy Spirit starts softening the heart. And the hope is you say, "I want to go to church between Ace Hardware and the liquor store. I've been thinking about that." I can't tell you how many times people have told me, "I just wanted to go to Ace Hardware to get something, and I heard the music." Or I go to King Supers all the time, and I saw that church, you know what? That's the Holy Spirit working. I know it. I can see it because I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. But then there's been other times as I've grown in my relationship with God. Initially, in the early days, when I needed to determine the will of God, it was kind of like, "Okay, God, if you give me 5 green lights in a row, You ever say prayers like that? If you're golfing, God, if this is your will, put the ball in the middle of the fairway. You know what I mean? You have these kind of prayers. It's like, God, if this is your will, make him, make her say that. And you kind of throw this kind of stuff out to God. And by his grace, many times, you know, the ball goes in the middle of the fairway. By his grace, sometimes. And even when that happens, you're like, okay, but how do I know that was really you? Right? We go through that. I want you to know, you can get to a point in your relationship with God where you know his voice and you don't need to say things like that. But it has to do with a relationship with God. It has to do with you being faithful and obedient to God. And you grow into that. It's possible. It's possible. Let me give you five ways to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is hopefully just super practical and helpful for you. First thing is this. The Holy Spirit will never tell you something that contradicts the character of God. Never. God is a holy God. You cannot say, God told me it's okay to hate. You cannot say, God told me it's okay to steal. God told me it's okay to lust. God told me it's okay for me to look at porn. God told me it's okay for me to treat my wife like this. He doesn't mind. God told me it's okay to be angry like this, and it's all right. This is just who I am. God told me it's okay to treat my man like this. God told me it's okay to be in this living situation. God told me it's okay. God told me it's okay not to go to church. Well, who's the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church. This is his baby. He is the head of the church. You cannot say, you know what? God doesn't mind. He doesn't mind if I don't honor him, if I don't give anything. He doesn't mind, but I want his blessings. No. You don't understand what a generous person is. You don't understand the heart of God. He's a generous God. You cannot say, God's okay with me not serving him. We're called to serve. God's okay with me holding a grudge. Gosh, some of us are so good at holding grudges, aren't we? We are skilled at holding grudges. And we call ourselves a Christian too, don't we? God wants you to forgive. You cannot say, you know what, God's okay with me being harsh with my children. God's okay with me being hard with my children. God's okay with me being lukewarm. God's okay with me not always following him. God's okay with me isolating myself and separating myself from everybody else. God's okay with that. God's okay with me manipulating others. God's okay with me cheating the system or working the system and taking advantage of the system. God's okay with me being greedy and just thinking about myself. Here's God. Psalm 86 says, but you, Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He's a compassionate and faithful God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Aren't you glad your God is abounding in love and faithfulness? Aren't you glad your God forgives better than you forgive? Aren't you glad your God shows mercy? Aren't you glad your God doesn't hold your old sins over your head and pulls them out to remind you so that you can be full of guilt? That's not your God. Your God is all about a new beginning. Your God is all about helping you grow and setting you free. That's who your God is. He's a good God. Nahum says, the Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. He's a good God. I know we live in a fallen world and crazy things happen in this world. It's part of being in this world. Things happen. It's hard. It's really hard. You know, parents should not be burying their babies. I get it. It's just, that doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. He's a holy God. Each of these, in Revelation says, each of these living beings had six wings and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty. The one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Your God is a holy God. And he's a loving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Ephesians says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He's a just God. He's a God of justice, but he's a God of grace and mercy as well. So you need to understand, anytime I hear somebody say, God told me, you know what I'm thinking? Is that the character of God? If you truly hear a word from God, a word from the Holy Spirit, it will reflect the character of God. It will draw you closer to God. It will be redemptive in nature. It will reflect his holiness, his righteousness. It will be about you taking a step closer to God. It will be about you turning to God. Anytime you hear a voice from the Holy Spirit, it reflects the character of God. So you got to hear that. Has anybody ever told you, God told me this or God whatever? And you think, really? You know what I'm talking about? You know, here's the challenge with the words God told me or God released me. The challenge with those words is you're the only one that gets to determine if it's true. Other people who hear that, you know what? It's like, what do they say? When you drop that card and you say, God told me or God released me, the conversation's over, right? You can't get into that person's head. Now, you can be suspicious about it and think, really? God told you to do that? Really? Seriously? And we can convince ourselves of God telling us something that satisfies our sinful nature, that satisfies our self-centeredness, that supports our self-centeredness, that supports our pride, that supports us. Sometimes, you know, I tell you what, I've seen it in pastors. It's really weird. And I've seen it in volunteers, and I've seen it where it's like every 5 to 7 years, God releases people. It's really weird. They say, I got to leave this church. Every 5 to 7 years, God releases everyone. It's like, where is that? I've been here for 22 years. Where is that at? Where is that at? You know what the truth is? I'm just going to tell you what the truth is. Truth is sometimes we're just tired or we're hurt or we're discouraged. And we think, oh, here's the solution. I got to leave. Rather than deal with it, I'd rather leave. I'd rather leave. Here's number two. You know what's the Holy Spirit speaking when it's truth? Say truth with me. Truth. Jesus said in John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Think about this. The title, one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is Spirit of Truth. That means not everything you hear is truth. You know one of the titles of the devil? Father of Lies. The Holy Spirit has just the opposite title, Spirit of Truth. Not every voice you hear is from God. Not everything you say to yourself is from God. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The other thing about truth is, and I bet you have experienced this, it feels different. When you hear truth, it resonates inside of you. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody drops a word of truth. Maybe it's a sermon. Maybe God uses a friend, and the friend doesn't even know they're being used by the Holy Spirit. And somebody says a word of truth, and it just drops on you, and it feels different. Within your soul, there's something inside of you that says, it's true. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody has that. Everybody has that. He will not speak on his own will, but will tell you what he's heard, and he will tell you about the future. See, the Holy Spirit sees things that you don't see. You got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Early on, one of the ways the Holy Spirit starts speaking to us is related to our behavior and our life choices and our decisions and our ethics and our morals. I remember early on when I, I didn't share this last night, but when I came to know Jesus, there were certain like albums that I used to listen to. I was an Ozzy fan. Ozzy just passed away. And I remember not all the lyrics of Ozzy were good. Now, please don't dog me or anything like that. I was just responding. And I remember I had Beatles, I had Rush, I had all these, I had Jackson 5, and I had all kinds of just a variety. But I remember the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and said, Reuben, you need to fill your mind with other things. Fill your mind with my word. That's what the Holy Spirit's starting to speak. I didn't have a pastor to coach me through this. These are the early days when Grace and I were just dating, and you know, Grace was an amazing, amazing blessing in my life. And you know what I did? I started breaking all those albums on my knees. Now, you might think, why in the world did you do that? Now I look back, and humanly speaking, you're like, man, that could be worth, you know, all that stuff. But in that moment, I know God was pleased with my obedience. You know what I'm saying? But I just told you something. It's very personal. For you, it could look very different. It's kind of like, you know, Google navigation. When you use Google, you know, navigation to get wherever you're going, and you take a wrong turn, you know, they start yelling at you saying, you idiot, you need to take a U-turn. You went the wrong way, you know, that kind of thing. And the Holy Spirit will many times say, you shouldn't have said that. Yeah, had that taste coming out. That was not good. Yeah, don't look at that video. That's not good. That's not. You got to be authentic. Don't do that. Don't treat her. Don't do that. Don't be careful. You shouldn't be doing that to your body. Whatever it is, and in that moment, you have an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. Again, it always leads to the righteousness of God. Simon Peter in Acts chapter 11, he said this: the Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry, for they were Gentiles. He's going to go share the gospel to the Gentiles, non-Jews. You know what I love about this verse is it seems like it's such a casual verse. A lot of people maybe, I don't know how many preachers have preached about Acts chapter 11, verse 12a. I don't know how many times that has happened. But what I love about it is Simon Peter is so locked in, and he's having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And his ears are open. He's attentive to what God is saying. And he's thinking about going over there, and the Holy Spirit tells him, don't worry, go ahead and go, and I'll be with you. And I think God wants you to get to a place where you cry out to him, not just for the big stuff. We cry out to God and say, God, should I quit my job? Should I make this move? Should I take this new job? Should I start this? Or whatever it is. And I get that. I think that's important. But God wants to have such a relationship with you that you are crying out for him every day. Every day. God, do you want me to talk to them? God, should I go over there today? God, what do you want to tell me today? Give me a word today. In the routine, ordinary life, God wants you to cry out to him today. Today. I think about when I, the way the Holy Spirit works, I remember when I could have spent my whole ministry life in San Francisco, Palo Alto here. I probably never would have owned a home out there. But my whole ministry life. And I remember this pastor out there, he invited us to go out there. So Grace and I went, and you know, they wined and dined us, and it was a really, really great pastor and great church. And they wanted me to go and lead the young adult ministry. I used to be in my 20s. And they wanted me to go out and do that. And I was thinking about it, and it looked so good. And they're giving me a package, and the money was good, and all this stuff. And then, after a while, I remember I visited Stanford, and we walked around. Anyway, it was just a great experience. But when I got home, there was something inside of me, like a lack of peace. I'm like, there's something about this baby. That's what I told Grace. And she says, you know, what chocolate stallion? I said, well, there's something about this whole thing that I don't know about. And I didn't have a peace. You know what happened 6 months after that? I said no, but 6 months after that, that lead pastor resigned. I had no idea he was even thinking about resigning. He didn't communicate that with me, that little tidbit of information. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit sees the future in a way that you don't see the future. Number three is this: you will hear the Holy Spirit more when you seek his presence more. How bad do you want to hear the voice of God in your life? How bad do you want to hear the voice of God in your life? I love this verse. Luke chapter 5 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness. And what would he do? Yeah, pray. Here's what I've discovered. People who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, pray frequently and often and fervently. They are lovers of prayer. They recognize the importance of spending time alone with God and getting into His Word. They recognize how important it is for me to stop what I'm doing and to get to a quiet place and to cry out to God. Those are people who have tuned into the frequency of the Holy Spirit. They know the voice of the Holy Spirit because they seek Him with all of their heart. They seek Him with all of their heart. You find them praying all the time. You find them praying in the bedroom. You find them praying in the kitchen. You find them praying in the living room. You find them praying in their car. You find them praying at church all the time. And they learn to seek His voice first. They go to God. Now think about this. These are the people who, when they're going through something in life, they go to God first and they go to people second. And they say, God, what do you want me to do? And they search the scriptures and they say, Lord, I need to know. I need to know. Let me just say it like this. Knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit is connected to your ability to sit and listen and pray and wait. Knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, you got it. God wants you to get to the point where you're so hungry for His presence that you're willing to do anything. I'm looking forward to the day you call me and say, Pastor, I just want to spend a night at the church. I want to sleep in the worship center because I need to hear a word from God. Hallelujah. I am with you. That's hungry. I want to be in the presence of God. I want the presence of God more than the blessings of God. The presence of God is more than enough. I don't need His blessings. I want His presence. And God is looking for people who are hungry for His presence. Hungry to cry out to Him. That's why every Wednesday we pray here at 6 o'clock. Can you make it? It's like, well, if you're not working, why not come? If you are working, we also pray on Saturday before our service. And we also pray on Sunday morning. See, let me tell you again. The people who hear the voice of God are people who pray. They're people who are lovers and spending time with God. Let me ask you this. If you knew, let me just say this. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go early. Tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock a.m., God wants to give you a special message. Do you want it? Now, some of you are like, can we reschedule? 5 a.m., it's my only time to sleep, and I got a lot to do, and I don't know about that, and I'm not my best at 5. How about if we move it to maybe 12:30 in the afternoon or something like that? I might have 2 o'clock available. I got to check my calendar first. We think like this. Others of you, let's just be honest, you're like, that's okay. I don't need to hear that. Check it out. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit always speaks through God's word. You spend time reading the Bible, and you know what I do? When God speaks to me, I underline it. I get out a pen and I underline it, or I might put a date right along the margin of God giving me. I'm always looking. Every time I read a chapter every morning, I'm just going through the Bible. I'm in Peter right now, 2 Peter. But I just go through and I'm looking, God, what is the word you want to give me right now in this chapter? I'm always thinking like that. So I'm looking for one word to highlight or one word to underline. I'm saying, God, I need to hear a word from you. On Thursday, I had a weird day. Anybody ever have weird days? I broke my coffee pot in our kitchen sink because I just had a little temper, I guess. I'll just call it what it is. I blew my temper. Okay, Lord, is that a better way to say it? Holy Spirit just told me, is that how you want to say it? I lost my temper. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I knocked over this glass of coffee all over the floor, and it was just weird stuff was happening all day. Have you ever had weird stuff happen to you all day? Hannah and I went out for a father-daughter date, and we went to go to Tokyo Joe's and coffee afterwards. But I told her, sweetheart, you might want to drive. I don't trust myself right now. We can get in a wreck. I just feel like, and then it dawned on me right around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The Holy Spirit told me, you haven't spent any time with me today. You haven't read the word at all. Every time I start the morning, and I know some of you are morning people and some of you are, you know, crack of noon people. I know you are. But anytime I start the day with the word of God, my day goes better. Anytime I do that. And if you start the day and you get to a place where you sit, and I know that's hard because we're in a generation of distractions. Some of us were trained. If you have idle time, reach your hand into your pocket and pull out your phone and swipe. If you're not doing anything, I mean, it's a digital world, right? Just swipe and look and scroll. I mean, that's our generation. But I want to challenge you to find time to sit with God. Get your Bible out and say, God, give me a word. And here, let's just start small. Start with 5 minutes. We'll just start with that. Maybe it'll grow. Just say, I want to start and I want to see God's voice. And start with that. Number four is this. The Holy Spirit will tell you what God is thinking. The Holy Spirit will tell you what God is thinking. In this whole sermon, this passage right here perhaps is like my favorite. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. This is Paul the Apostle talking. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Wow. It's like the Holy Spirit is like a tattletaler. The Holy Spirit is like a CIA agent. And he's going to tell you, this is what God is saying. This is what God wants. Let me just tell you what God's thinking. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Now, isn't that true? Right now, even while you're at church, nobody knows your thoughts. God knows your thoughts, and you know your thoughts, but nobody else knows your thoughts, right? And aren't you glad other people do not know your thoughts all the time? Mm-hmm, me too. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Only people who are spiritual can hear the Holy Spirit. And God wants to have such a relationship with you that you hear his voice, you hear the Holy Spirit, and he tells you things. He gives you a perspective that is different from your human perspective. On the outside, it might look good. Not every open door is the will of God. You know that, right? Not just because it pays more doesn't mean you should take it. Just because someone is buying you lunch or dinner and you're dating doesn't mean they're the right person. You know that, right? Everybody looks good on the front end. But God wants to tell you secrets through his Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you, and God wants you to gain wisdom that comes from his Holy Spirit living inside of you. Fifth thing is this: the Holy Spirit doesn't have to raise his voice. Sometimes we think, well, I've got to raise my voice to get my point, right? Any of you, when you're in an argument, you talk over the person you're arguing with. And sometimes you get in an argument and the goal is, well, the last one standing wins, right? And it can get ugly. The Holy Spirit's not like that. The Holy Spirit is God. He doesn't need to raise his voice. Elijah learned that in 1 Kings chapter 19. God told him, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's the way the Holy Spirit is. When I was just turning to Jesus and I was 18 years old and this whole thing was brand new. I mean, I was brand new. I only knew where one book in the Bible was, and that was the book of Genesis. I was spiritually illiterate, biblically illiterate, spiritually ignorant, really was. I didn't know God. I didn't know his voice. And God was starting to speak to me. And I remember a still small voice in my life. And I was at the University of Maryland at a conference there out in D.C. area. And there was a preacher, and we were at a conference, and there was a preacher, his name was Tony Campolo. If you ever heard that name, the guy's in heaven now. And Tony Campolo was preaching lights out. He was sweating, and he was just going. And when he was done preaching, I don't remember him saying this, but this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. I want to use you. Do you hear that? I want to use you. Nobody else in that stadium, I don't know, maybe 7,000 other people there, nobody else heard that, but I heard the Lord say, I want to use you. And I went forward, because there was a time to surrender your life to God, to his will. So I went forward and I knelt down and I said, God, whatever you want. Let me just say, for those of you who've got a calling on your life, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. If you have a calling on your life and maybe you've ignored it, it won't go away. Let me just tell you that. God is so good. So I remember after that moment, I turned to my youth pastor and I said, God just spoke to me. And he said, he wants to use me. And I'll never forget it. He said something like, oh, that's good, Reuben. That's good. Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's go. Let's get back into the van. And I remember thinking, he didn't hear it. That's how the word of God is. God speaks to you and it's so private and it's so personal. And the people around you don't understand the weight, the gravity of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, let me just drop some words because some of you need to hear this. You are forgiven. Some of you need to hear this. Come back home. Some of you need to hear that. Some of you need to hear this. It's time. It's time. Some of you need to hear this. Let it go. Some of you need to hear this. Don't worry about it. Some of you need to hear this. Trust him. What is God speaking to you about? What is God speaking to you? When I was in Rome during my sabbatical, and I was sitting in what's called Mamertine Prison. This is a place where Paul the Apostle was imprisoned. And, I have a whole new perspective of Paul the Apostle and the writings in the New Testament that were written by Paul the Apostle that really impacted me when I was in Mars Hill and I was in Corinth. And and all these places. And but in this prison, I read 2 Timothy, and my family let me spend a little alone time there. You know, it's really something. When you start spending time with God alone, it becomes addictive. Like more addictive than heroin or pot or coke or whatever it is, or alcohol. It becomes this addictive time where you're like, man, I need a hit from the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? I need a hit from the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you came to Thorn Creek Church? We're just real here. It's like, I just need a hit from the Holy Spirit. So there's something about when you start spending time with God and you hear the Holy Spirit and you're like, man, now I feel juiced and I'm ready to go. And then you start wanting more of it. You start craving it. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes isn't enough. And you long to be in the presence of the Lord even more. And you just say, it's just this thing that happens when you turn hard to God. And I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the Lord gave me this word. To never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And I read that, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, Reuben, don't you ever be ashamed about it. You preach. And don't be ashamed of me. Wow. I think in my early days, and I can still slip into this, where I'm more concerned about pleasing humans than I am pleasing God. I'm more concerned about what people think about me than what God thinks about me. Any of you struggle with that? Even though I'm in prison for Him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. I'm dropping some pearls. This is what the Lord told me. I'm just telling you. And the Lord told me, Reuben, I'm with you. Never be afraid to speak truth. Don't customize the message based on who's in the audience. That's what the Lord is telling me. You don't be afraid. And if I want you to go out and preach on 16th Street, I want you to do it. If I want you to go out and preach on the curb between Ace Hardware and the liquor store, I want you to do it. And this is where I'm at, guys. I'm just telling you. I don't know. This is just where I'm at. God has just spoke to me and said, Reuben, I want you to live life for me in a new level. You need the Holy Spirit to do that. Then he says, and also be ready to suffer with me. I don't like that part, so I just drew a line in my Bible across that. I was like, I don't know about that. I want the blessings, not the sufferings. But you know what that means? You know what, guys? I mean, sometimes I got to be willing to preach even though I'm bleeding. Sometimes I got to be willing to serve even when I'm hurting. Sometimes I need to be able to preach even when I'm the one who needs the grace. You know what I'm talking about? And then it says, this part says, with the strength God gives you. You ever feel weak? You're like, I don't know if I can do this. You know what I mean? And you know, God reminded me, with the little strength I have, with His Holy Spirit, is enough. That's what God reminded me of. That little strength, that little faith, it's enough when you couple it with the Holy Spirit and you say, God, let's go. You know the crazy thing about this? It's in your weakness that He is strong. It's in your weakness that you discover it's not about your strength. It's not about you, bro. You're not all that in a bag of chips. You're really not. It's not all you, sister. You're not that great. I mean, it's about His grace. It's about His mercy. All He wants you to do is be available. That's all He wants. He wants you to be willing to do that, be available. I said some things in this service that I did not say last night. So that's the Holy Spirit working. So I don't know what's going on inside of you, but I feel the Holy Spirit in this room right now. I can see the Holy Spirit. I look into your eyes and I can see the Holy Spirit working inside of you. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been at church. Maybe you call yourself a Christian, but you don't go to church. Maybe you know you're not right with God, but you're here anyway. Wherever you're at, I want you to know God sees you clearly. Maybe you call yourself a Christian and you know all the Bible stories, but you're living another life. And you've reasoned within yourself. You've convinced yourself that God's okay with it. I want you to know God sees you. God's not okay with it. He's a holy God. He wants you to turn to Him. God wants you to know His Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to work inside of you. All right. I think that's the message. I think that's it. I think the Holy Spirit just told me you're done, Reuben. Praise the Lord. So here's the opportunity. Let's just do this. I didn't do it last night, but I feel like I need to do it right now. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you right now, would you stand up really quickly? I want to say a prayer for you. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you. Maybe you're ready to turn to Jesus, or maybe you feel like now I need God's strength, or whatever it is. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, don't be afraid. Sometimes people think like, well, I don't know what so-and-so will think. Well, you know what? If you knew them the way God knew them, you wouldn't be worried about what they think. It's all right. God, thank you. Your first step is to invite Jesus into your heart. So if you're not a Christian, maybe you want to become a Christian, would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to take over my life. Forgive me for my sins. I want to become a Christian right now. Help me to live out this new life. And put your Holy Spirit inside of me so I know the difference between right and wrong. Help me to live the life you've called me. Others of you might need to say this. Holy Spirit, fill me. Say that out loud. Just say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me a new hunger for your presence. Give me ears to hear. You know what, guys? Just right where you're standing, would you put your hands on your own ears? God, I pray right now with every person as they're putting their hands on their own ears, would you open up their ears to hear your Holy Spirit, to hear the voice of your Spirit, God. Give them ears to hear right now. Lead us and guide us, Holy Spirit. We need you. Help us to be the stronger person, the person that you desire us to be. Invade our hearts, invade our minds, invade our homes. Do a miracle. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Let's thank God for His word, church. God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand up. Let's worship Him. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.